Oh, Robert, I think it's time for another show, but I look beside me and I see no Robert. I have some bad news. Robert was on the dentist chair for 2.5 hours and he decided not to join us. He said renewable energy and being with stitches and the ordeal of the operation said, Eric, you're on your own. But quite fortunate, in transition, we picked up somebody to come and replace Robert. So here is Miss Fabienne Jolie, who happens to be in town for a discussion with First Nation in Seguin. Fabienne, nice to join us in the Renewable Energy Studio.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be with you, Eric.
Okay, so you just arrived today, right?
Yeah, just arrived this morning, direct from Montreal and Lac Mégantic in Quebec.
Okay, and we have our dog Nika coming in and checking us out, so that's normal. she'll settle down, okay? And what brings you to Winnipeg?
Oh, so project a turbine, hydrokinetic power systems that we've deployed.
That's a mouthful there, Miss Fabienne. There, yeah. Well, let's slow it down. So, what's hydrokinetic?
Hydrokinetic is the science to produce electricity from the movement of water.
So the movement of water. So it's like a windmill in the water.
Yeah. More or less, that's basically that.
Now, I can hear an accent, and it's not British, okay?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Now, is there one thing that I find beautiful in the French language is hydrolienne, eh? It is so beautiful compared to kinetic turbines, right? But you say in French, un hydrolienne, which means hydro, and lienne means a blade, right? And we make the word hydrolienne, right? So how did you get involved in hydrokinetic turbines?
So I'm the director of development for Canada, for ORPC.
Okay, and ORPC stands for what?
Ocean Renewable Power Company.
But we're in Winnipeg. We're the farthest away from an ocean right now. I know because I live in Winnipeg and I love the ocean. And the closest ocean happens to be Churchill.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know me, as I get into my car and I go on both sides of the ocean. So what's ORPC doing in Seguin?
So ORPC, it's a U.S. company. So we have an office in Canada, in Montreal. So I'm part of this team, and so we are developing hydrokinetic.
hydrokinetic.
So beautiful hydrolienne in French.
Yes.
For tidal environment, but also for river currents.
So okay, so it works in the river, right?
Yeah, so it works in the river, and that's what brings me in Winnipeg to deploy hydrokinetic turbine in Winnipeg River.
Okay, and I have kayak and paddle and boated that river, and there's about 25 good sites that I've measured. And I would imagine that one of those good sites is at Seguin, right?
It's at Seguin, yeah.
So can you tell me about the site at Seguin that you're going to put the ORPC turbine?
So right now we are building the relation with the Seguin community. So first we've deployed the turbine last October at the CHTTC. So the
CHTTC, what's that?
You know that, Eric. The Canadian Hydrokinetic Turbine Test Center.
Oh yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, you heard about that, yeah, for sure.
Okay, for the audience, I normally remove myself from interviews, but our good friend Robert has a mouthful right now with his stitches. So I'm replacing Robert here. And I do have some background on what Fabienne's going to talk, but I'll pretend that I don't know.
You should.
So tell me about this turbine that's right now the CHTTC. That's a bottom turbine, right?
Yeah, it's the RevGen, the name of the turbine we've deployed, and our team has developed, is operating underwater And that makes us allowing to operate in northern climate, because even if the river is frozen, as we are under the level of the river, the surface of the river, it can still operate during winter. That makes a big difference.
And I heard you had a really good, successful project in Alaska for about 2 years.
Yeah, even for 4 winters right now.
4 winters?
Yeah, 4 winters right now. The RibGen is in operation in the village of Igiagig, Alaska.
Okay.
A really remote community of 80 people. And so we even deployed a battery with Schneider Electric and a smart control. So, in fact, a local microgrid.
A local microgrid.
Yeah.
And I heard you displace a lot of the diesel energy there being used in that in Alaska there,
that
community.
That's what is interesting in the hydrokinetic power system and energy. That's this is a base load, so predictable and stable energy. And so it's really allowed to increase the penetration of renewables. And so, yeah, in Igiagig, depending the period, but we are able to displace from 60 to 90% of the diesel.
So that means that even during winter, you're able to displace a lot of the diesel, and definitely in summer when the flow is a bit, when the velocity is a bit higher, you're able to displace almost 90%.
Yeah.
So was the diesel always on, or sometimes was the diesel turned off in Alaska?
No, the diesel is still on.
The steel and
as a backup.
As a backup.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did the remote community receive this new technology? And could you tell us a bit about the history of the people in that community from a historical perspective?
So yeah, the project in Igiagig, if you mentioned this one, were approached, in fact, ORPC, because they wanted to go further in renewable energy project.
Okay.
And so it's a long story, in fact, this project.
More are you going to write a book on it?
We could, definitely. We could. I was not personally involved in that, but I heard a lot from my colleagues from ORPC in US. They work very closely with the community to really design a device, a hydrokinetic system that fits and that fits the constraint of this remote environment. So to have a system, a device that could be easily shipped, easily reassembled, and easily deployed in this condition with very light equipment, so local equipment that the community already have. We didn't want to bring anything else in the community, also to decrease the cost as much as possible. And this project really makes us develop the region as it is right now.
Okay. So I work with First Nations and diesel communities in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you? I've never worked with diesel communities in Alaska, U.S., right? United States. Can you give me a bit about a history about the people, the number of people, how they went through a transition of living without fossil fuels, how they maybe accepted or were forced fossil fuel integration using diesel, and how right now they aspire to be outside the fossil fuel era?
So from what I know, because as I said, I was not personally involved in this project, but from our experience with this community, they're really willing to displace diesel because they want to go outside this dependency to live in a cleaner environment. People are really involved in this project, in this community at least. And
well, I know that I work with First Nations in diesel communities, and it's amazing how you come across individuals that just hate diesel.
Yeah,
like this is not discussed, but it's like they Absolutely. Absolutely hate diesel. There's always spills, right, with diesel. And they have a heart. They are really, really a bit can't tolerate it. So I'd like to go back to Seguin. I know Seguin is not a diesel community. Mm-hmm. It's on connected to Manitoba Hydro.
Yeah.
So what would be the aspiration of Seguin to install and own and operate a RivGen?
So there's different aspect, but first producing their own electricity also make real sense for them to regain kind of energy sovereignty. That's a big subject for indigenous community. And also what we are developing together and what we envision together, it's with the community. It's also to develop a demonstration and training center for indigenous community. It's still a new technology, and so we still need to reinsure communities and regulators and government. And so we really feel to have a place where these people, these partners, these communities can come and can see the device, can touch it, can really experience it and be trained also. So that's what we envision with Seguin. So for sure, producing, generating electricity for the community, but also to have this training center for larger audience.
Well, that's important because there's about 300 remote diesel communities in Canada. Most of them are First Nation, about 270 to 80. And some of them are on the ocean. So they would like a training center, preferably on the ocean. And I know you're working on that also.
Yeah.
And I am part of a another facility on the ocean because I love the ocean. So I go to all our three oceans, okay? And but there'd be a lot of First Nations that could come and start experiencing and be trained at Seguin. I heard you have some good contacts now there at in the community, and you're going to be presenting with them. So can you talk to us a bit about who you're working with in Seguin?
Yes, so I'm working with Lion Morisseau particularly. Mm-hmm. So is I call him, or he defined him a bit like the water keeper.
The water keeper.
I like this term because he explained to me that he's really involved in water monitoring program and in water conservation project. So, I said, oh, you were the water keeper.
Yeah, the water keeper, yes.
So that's very nice. Very, very enthusiastic person.
I had Lyle and his wife here. I mean, I interviewed them on Street Talk. So Street Talk is informal, eh? So as part of this show, we have different segues. This is an interview, but we go around and we randomly talk to people. And I just had Lyle was here with his wife, and we're eating microgreens and stuff and having a good supper. So I interviewed them. Oh, just gorgeous interview. Just gorgeous. Went for like 45 minutes. I'll have to edit it down. But very, very nice when you when you get to talk to people and they open up. Right? Renewable energy and climate change and how to get rid of fossil fuels. Mm. Do you know how many years of fossil fuels we have left?
Oh, no.
No! Well, let me tell you. See, when Robert is here, you see, Robert tells me to be more socially acceptable.
Okay. I don't know why.
And I tried to have him to be a bit more number conscious, right? But he doesn't remember any numbers. Okay. So so we've got about 51 years. Okay. Now that can vary depending, you know, it depends on a lot of
factors. And the consumption and
but at the end, it's not just climate change. There's three big reasons to go to 100% renewable. First, the earth is designed to run on 100% renewables, nothing else. Fossil fuels is just a blimp in the history of mankind. It's just that the baby boomers like ourselves. Are you part of the baby boomers?
No, I'm not.
You're way too young. Eh? I think I'm on the tail end of the baby boomers, right? But we live the fossil fuel era, but it's a blimp and it has to go. it has to go. So so your focus on remote communities in Canada. So what are the other projects that ORPC is looking at in Canada, especially in the ocean?
Especially in the ocean, but we have a lot of projects in river. Also.
I know, but I need an excuse to go on the Pacific or the West Coast or East Coast. You know, there's a lot of whales, eh? So I need to hang out with my friends. Oh, look at that. Yeah, it's just like, yeah. So look at this here. As part of climate change, look. See? We always got to remember our friends in the ocean.
This is swells.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because remember, biodiversity is very important. Mm. I have to read a lot of books for Dr. Renewables, and people say, well, humans can adapt. And I go, well, how about all the other species, guys and girls? You know, it's like, so I bring my friends, the whales, you know, to come and talk with us so that the whales are saying, don't forget us. You know, it's like we can't be adaptive as well as human beings. You know, it's like, and especially corals, they have no adaptation techniques. Okay, let's bring up the volume here. Oh, yeah, because I usually have to control the volume, not too high, but...
Do an exception for friends whales.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So we'll shut off the whales now. We'll continue our talk. So a lot of activities in Quebec?
Yeah, we're pretty active in Quebec.
Okay.
Definitely. In Nunavik.
Nunavik. Oh, that's... Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think you sent me there. I had such a great time with Maureen. Oh,
In Nunavut.
No, we did Baffin Island. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like, was that a great trip? I had never been. Yeah. And being with Inuits... Oh my God. And they would drive us around in boats and we saw some fantastic sights. And you know what happened? Is me being a river guy, I'm like, oh my God, we're chasing sights around there. And I said, this is just like chasing rivers. Like in rivers, what we do is we find open ice. We now have a satellite technique, which I hope ORPC is going to utilize. So we have three satellites that detect the ice openings. And that pretty much is the first level of interrogation of, is there... resource of HydroConnect turbine near remote communities, so it's able to detect them. Then after that, you could go to the second phase. But we were out in Baffin Island. Oh my God, I always wanted to go away, and it was fantastic. Of course, we got stuck.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we got stuck, you know, but it was fine, you know. It was, yeah, so tell us a bit more. Yeah.
So, yeah, in Nunavut, the trip you've made with my colleague Maureen.
Yes. Yeah, and by the way, she was not dressed, okay? like I gave her crap. I was like always offering some clothes because I always have enough clothes because I have worked at minus 50 on the river. So I sort of am well prepared, right?
Yes, so, but anyway...
She was in her fancy Montreal clothes.
What happens in Nunavut, yes. But so we just complete this this project, this site assessment. Oh, in fact, it was working with NNC, the local economic development organization that's leading a renewable energy project. So we've made... with your support, hydrokinetic potential evaluation.
Yeah.
And we just completed it this month.
Okay. Like Nunavut is totally run by diesel. Eh? Yeah. It's huge. And it's like, they have resources. They have they have marine energy. They have a bit of solar. They have wind. And it's this idea that it's diesel or nothing. Eh? Mm-hmm. And people aren't aware of the fights that people like ourselves go through and how hard it is to move technology forward. But we have good news in here in Manitoba. Okay. It was really, I really enjoyed deploying the turbine last summer.
Yeah. Last fall in October, it was already a bit cold, but no.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was a bit cold, you know, but.
Not like in Nunavut.
I had never tried pushing a boat, I mean, a big barge like that.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was like no big problem. Mm-mm-mm. Like, I didn't have the experience like you, the guys you have, eh? So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll work. But it's like, I wasn't too sure, but it was like, wow.
So
was that easy?
Yeah, your experience was so easy, the deployment process.
Well, you know, it's like when you first start it, like 15 years ago, we were like very careful. And now we do stuff. You know, we're trained and we're just used to it. So once you're used to it, no, it was just a bigger turbine, mm-hmm. and it worked very well. We had great deployment, and this turbine actually sinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, submerged. You heard what happened, eh? When we tried to sink it, the pipes had frozen. The snorkels. Real big deal. Oh. We always have a blowtorch. Okay. the model 9000 to 2000 blowtorch. So we just blew the torch onto the pipe and it melted and just sank.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it was. But it was cold, but no problem.
Yeah, it was cold.
Oh yeah, it's no big deal. It's like we don't mind the cold, eh?
What you say is very interesting because you were a bit afraid or not used to deploy this turbine.
But I wasn't afraid. There's a lot of forces.
Concerned.
There's a lot of forces on this,
but
right?
That's exactly what we experience also in promoting and meeting with communities and governments. Because when people don't know the technology, it's still new. It's still innovation in their in their head. So, but once you've done that once. Mm-hmm. Right now, you could deploy it.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere.
No, I could deploy. Derek was here 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And he talked about the microgrid in Nova Scotia that we did this summer. And, was it nice. Solar, marine energy, batteries. Oh, just like, it's fun. It's cool technology. It's way better than diesel.
Yeah, definitely. That's where we go.
So tell me, how's the reception in Quebec for up north with these turbines and across the country?
We're working with Tarkuti. Tarkuti is the organization responsible to deploy renewable energy project technology in the 14 remote communities.
Okay.
So Hydro-Québec, the Quebec utility, is responsible to provide electricity, reliable electricity to this remote community. But right now it's only diesel generator. Tarkuti is working on assessing the wind potential, the solar potential, the hydrokinetic potential. So for sure, we're working with them on this hydrokinetic potential assessment. So that's where we are right now. And we will start as soon as possible also community engagement.
Okay.
Because for sure, this project has to be led by the community.
Yeah. A question I don't know the answer, and I don't know if you know the answer. Okay, but it's not that I'm pessimistic, but when it comes down to government to support fossil fuels, they seem to be doing a really good job. We have a carbon tax, right? I think it's like $50. I don't remember the price right now. But now that I'm thinking about it, do you know if the remote communities are paying the carbon tax on both oil and diesel, or are they exempt?
I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know, but definitely going on the funding topics, governments are also dedicating a lot of dollars for renewable programs, renewable projects. So that's a good news, and specifically for indigenous community.
Yes.
So a lot of money, a lot of funding programs are open and are available to develop this this project. But first step, as we already said, is to reinsure, to demonstrate, even if our technology is already reliable, already operating for 4 winters, 4 years in Alaska, for example, we still have to go one step further and make this same demonstration in every provinces, every territories, for each government to make sure and to be reinsured to experience that.
Yeah. So we're going to be connecting to the grid this summer at the CHATC, putting electrons on the Manitoba Hydro grid.
Yeah.
How much are we going to get paid for that?
A few cents. No, but this project.
Well, at least two, eh? I'll give you my 2 cents on it.
Yeah. No, this grid connection is really more for us to demonstrate and to learn on our electrical system, power electronics, and to make sure that the system, the show station, is really plug and play system, and it's full ready to work in communities. So that's not a question of cost or purchase power purchase agreement, but much more on demo, technical demonstration.
Well, we're going to have our team together this summer. You're going to come in back and visit us. We're going to be working on the water. Yep. We're going to be doing ADCP measurements, ADV measurements. Ooh, wow. It's going to be
great. Exciting
word. So excited, eh? And then we'll be doing some great connections. We'll be putting your microgrid. We'll be working with Manitoba Hydro. We'll be making sure that everything's CSC approved, grid connected, and all the permits are in. It's going to be tested at the CHTTC, then move to Seguin. And there within Seguin, we're also going to be looking at doing some exciting stuff like doing manuals that are more prone for Indigenous communities to interrelate. There's a lot of difference in language, but the universal language is still visual cues.
Yeah. Images, right? And
so that's a universal language that is quite understandable, and we're also going to be looking at various flow measurements. Okay, looking at these eddies going down les éoliennes. Les hydroliennes. Oh my God, Fabienne, I can't believe this, but it's almost coming to an end. Look at that. So any words of wisdom before you leave?
Before I leave, so thank you very much, Eric. So exciting to speak about hydrolien.
Yeah. Hey, how did you end up in Quebec? Do we have time for can you say in 30 seconds?
30 seconds?
Yeah, you left Paris, right?
No, I lived in Grenoble, in the Alps.
Oh, in Grenoble. Ooh,
In the Alps.
That's where the nuclear research center is, eh?
But not only nuclear, very beautiful mountains also.
Yeah.
And very innovative ecosystem in Grenoble. But
The wine is beautiful, is wonderful there, eh? I toured that area, and I wasn't drinking, eh? But that's where I started drinking wine.
Oh, come on.
I had been 20 years a monk. I had been 20 years a monk, no drinking, and my French roots kicked in.
Hey.
Eh?
I'm not surprised.
And the red wine started flowing, and then I even started eating chicken. It was like my kids were like, Dad, what are you doing? It's like, I said, look, it's my French heritage, eh?
Oh, come on. So I was living in Grenoble and working on economic development there. That's my background. Yeah. And I decided to cross the Atlantic Ocean to contribute to the reconstruction of Lac Mégantic.
Oh, yeah, the big train rail of fossil fuels, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that's what makes sense. And so in Lac Mégantic, I've integrated the team of reconstruction office working with for the municipality. And I've initiated and developed with our partners a microgrid.
Oh, cool.
Local microgrid. So That's why.
Well, Fabienne, I must confess, I didn't miss Robert one single bit. So, Robert, get well, and we'll try to catch you up this summer when you come back. Thanks, Fabienne.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.